Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of AI Roundup. I'm your host, Phil Buck, and today we're going to be doing things a little bit differently than we have the past few episodes. If you watched last week, then you might have heard me say several times that we need to slow down and take a pause on this AI stuff, and I'm not the only one. Apparently, Steve Wozniak, Elon Musk, and over 1,000 others, some many of them heavyweights in the AI researching community, have said that we need to take a 6-month hiatus on developing large language models and the like. Well, I'm not totally sure if I agree we need to take a pause on the research and development of AI, but I will say I think we should take a pause on trying to keep up with the constant onslaught of breaking news about AI technology. Shout out to the MMN Discord, where a friend of the show, Shadow42, said it's like trying to drink from a fire hose. And that's why I think that we need to do something a little bit different this week. And instead of trying to keep up with the breaking news, why don't we take a look back at how generative AI became somewhat of a household name. Okay, so let's break it down. What the f*** is generative AI? Generative AI refers to a class of artificial intelligence algorithms that create new content or examples by learning the underlying patterns in a given dataset. These algorithms have been applied to various domains, including text, images, and music. Over the last year, we've seen the advancements in this technology explode. AI is almost certainly the buzzword of 2023, and that's no doubt due to the major releases and announcements surrounding several different types of generative AI during the second half of 2022. But let's back it up a bit first and talk about everything that's led up to 2022. Zooming out and going back to... we're not doing segments today. We got a lot of material to cover here, okay? That's what I get for having an AI for a producer. Anyway, zooming out and going back to the 1950s and 60s, the early days of AI research saw the development of rule-based systems for generating content, such as Eliza and Shirdloo, a chatbot, and a system for generating natural language descriptions of simple block words. And while the concept of artificial intelligence has been around for centuries, arguably, one of the earliest technical milestones was in 1950 with Alan Turing's coining of the term the imitation game, which is a test of a machine's ability to exhibit intelligent behavior equivalent to or indistinguishable from that of a human. This has gone on to be known as the Turing test. Suitably. And with the wave of AI advancements this year, some people, such as Blake Lemoine, or the Hat Man as I like to call him, believe that we currently have AI that passes the Turing test. This fact has been widely refuted. Nonetheless, Mr. Lemoine is still out there making his case that our current AI models are in fact conscious. I happen to believe that the Hat Man simply had the best cyber sex of his life with Lambda and got sprung for an LLM. Anyway, I digress. Let's move it forward a couple decades. During the 1980s and 1990s, connectionist models such as Hopfield networks and Boltzmann machines were introduced. They were capable of learning patterns in data and generating new examples. However, these models were limited by computational power and dataset size, which is not so much of a problem these days. Then, in the late 1990s and 2000s, with the advent of GPUs, graphical processing units, and the rise of deep learning, researchers started to explore generative models based on neural networks. Notable examples include variational autoencoders, which you'll be familiar with if you like to play with Stable Diffusion, and restricted Boltzmann machines, RBMs, which laid the foundation for modern generative AI techniques. Now we make it to 2014, where things really start to pick up speed. Generative adversarial networks, or GANs, were introduced by Ian Goodfellow and his team. And GANs consist of two neural networks, a generator and a discriminator. They learn to generate new data by playing a Minimax game. Minimax is used in machine learning to help algorithms make optimal decisions when playing against opponents in games, enabling them to learn effective strategies and improve their performance. I had never heard of a Minimax game before, so I asked GPT to explain it to me like a 5-year-old. And it told me, a Minimax game is like playing a game with a friend where you both try to make the best moves so you can win, while also trying to stop the other person from winning. ChatGPT, that is just simply what a game is. You're not really helping me. So I asked again, can you explain why it is used in machine learning, but in an entertaining tone? And this time it told me, imagine machine learning is a super fun party where algorithms are having a blast, learning and figuring things out. In comes the Minimax game, dressed as a cool superhero. It's here to save the day in situations where two teams are playing against each other, like a thrilling game of tic-tac-toe or chess. Those are pretty disparate games. Can we get a little gray area here, ChatGPT? Not the best explanation. It is a little condescending, but helpful, I think. I don't know. You tell me. If you can define it better, hit me up in the Discord. Anyway, this innovation, apparently it greatly improved the quality of generated samples and opened up new possibilities in generative AI. And then in 2015, the introduction of the Transformer architecture by Vaswani et al. Revolutionized natural language processing and enabled highly scalable generative models. Transformers use self-attention mechanisms, allowing them to efficiently learn long-range dependencies in sequences. And I have no idea what that sentence means, so I'm not gonna lie. I once again turned to ChatGPT, but this time I asked it to explain it to me as if they are the host of a hip YouTube show about AI. And here's what I got back.
Welcome, welcome everybody to AI Groove, the coolest show on the planet where we talk about the latest and greatest in the world of artificial intelligence. I'm your host, DJ AI, and today we're diving into one of the hottest topics in the AI scene, Transformers and their self-attention mechanisms. Picture this, you're at a party, trying to listen to a friend tell you a story, but the music is bumping, and people are chatting all around you. Somehow, you manage to focus on your friend's voice and catch the important parts of their tale. That's what self-attention mechanisms do for Transformers. These funky AI models know how to groove with sequenced data, like text, speech, or even time series. And the secret sauce? Self-attention mechanisms, baby! They let Transformers weigh the importance of each word or element in a sequence, regardless of how close or far apart they are, creating a smooth flow of understanding. Back in the day, older models like RNNs and LSTMs tried to dance with long-range dependencies, but they often tripped up, stumbling over vanishing or exploding gradients. But Transformers, they're breakdancing through sequences with style and flair, capturing those long-range relationships like a pro. So, my cool AI enthusiasts, let's give it up for the amazing Transformers and their groovy self-attention mechanisms, the stars of the AI party, and the future of natural language processing. Keep on grooving, and I'll catch you on the next episode of AI Groove.
All right, come on, you're kind of stepping on my style here. What's going on, DJ AI? I don't really like that. Well, now that we had a nice vibe with DJ AI, let's keep this timeline moving forward. And it's all coming together to really set up what we're dealing with today. Between 2018 and 2021, OpenAI introduced the GPT, or Generative Pre-trained Transformer series, with GPT-2 in 2019 and GPT-3 in 2020. These models demonstrated remarkable performance in generating human-like text across a wide range of domains. With billions of parameters, these models are capable of learning from vast amounts of text data and generating contextually coherent responses. And I mean, mostly everything before this point in time did not make waves in the mainstream. The general population was not getting in on AI as all that was happening. If you had asked me about AI in 2021, I mean, honestly, I would have thought you were talking about something from a science fiction movie. I wasn't ignorant about it, but it just hadn't affected me in a real, actually impactful way on my life. But research on machine learning, neural networks, and language model, it's been going on for decades. And yet, somehow, the dam broke in 2022. And massive amounts of research finally had reached the point that viable products from so many of these projects, they started to make their way into the hands of just about anybody who was interested in trying them out. I think we can trace the household namification of AI to three major events in 2022. First, the release of DALL-E 2, then Midjourney and Stable Diffusion, and finally, the release of ChatGPT. In 2022, OpenAI made the biggest splash for me personally with the release of DALL-E 2. I had never seen anything like these images that were coming out, and once the images started to hit social media, it was like an avalanche of AI development. Midjourney and Stable Diffusion debuted shortly after that in 2022, making the AI art generation revolution even more amazing to witness. And this isn't even speaking on the large language model explosion that I feel like was spearheaded by the rollout of ChatGPT in November of 2022. And while tools like DALL-E 2, Stable Diffusion, Midjourney, they were the major attention-catching spectacle of AI advancement, GPT and the implementation of a readily available online interface with ChatGPT, that is what really seemed to change the way everyone was thinking about how to do nearly any and every aspect of our everyday lives. Writers, developers and coders, content creators, anyone in the knowledge sector of the workforce was and is seeing the prospect of major upheavals in the way their jobs will be done. And now, here we are in April 2023, where half of the headlines that I read in earnest on this show, I would have entirely believed to be April Fool's jokes if you shared them with me a year ago. Literally so much has happened in the span of 9 months and some change. And while I feel like I could just go on and on about the history of generative AI, I think that's a good place to leave it for this week. And we'll be ready next week to suckle on that sweet teat of the AI fire hose. I apologize for that line or that visual, whichever one got you. But before we go, I'd like to let you know, later today at 1 p.m. Eastern time, I'll be doing a live episode of Technical Deficit on the MSP Media Network with a tutorial on getting started with Stable Diffusion. If you've been interested in how you can use this open source technology to start playing around making your own images, it is a real rabbit hole and it's going to be a lot of fun, so please tune in. Anyway, I hope you all enjoyed a walk down the AI memory lane. And until next time, this has been your April 12th edition of AI Roundup. See you next time.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.